Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. In the debut novel, Nuclear Family, the invisible becomes seen, while what's visible is often ignored or suppressed. The story centers on a Korean family who live and own a small chain of restaurants in Hawaii, Cho's Delicatessen, Cho's 2 and Cho's 3, serving a mixture of comfort food and classic Korean dishes. But their apparent good fortune and popularity among locals and tourists is upended when their son Jacob, who had moved back to South Korea to teach English, makes international news for attempting to cross a demilitarized zone into North Korea. His actions mystify his family, but there are also other forces at play here. One is history and American imperialism, which have erected walls between families in the two Koreas while connecting Korea and Hawaii. Another force is the supernatural. Ghosts follow Jacob and propel him towards North Korea. As the other Cho's, his parents, Appa, Uma, and his sister Grace deal with the fallout from Jacob's actions an ocean away, as well as racist attacks on their restaurant, the distance between the three of them grows too. For the latest installment of our 2022 debut series, I'm joined by Joseph Han. Joseph, welcome. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Allison. This is such an honor.
The majority of the book is about living people, but the first chapter, we are right in the world of the dead immediately. It takes you a moment. Why did you drop us the readers, there first?
I thought it was important to evoke ancestors. So much of this book is about honoring those who've passed on and remembering how we can carry on not only their stories, but their wills. And for a lot of Korean people, that will is a continuing wish to return to their homes in the north, to return to their family members who they haven't seen since the division of the Korean Peninsula and the scattering of many lives during the Korean War. And so I wanted to reckon with all of these spirits that are clamoring to be heard and to tell the story of one spirit in particular, Taewoo, Jacob's grandfather, and how he's been spending his afterlife trying to breach the spiritual barrier of the DMZ.
The way the book is structured is we meet each character, they each have a chapter, Grace, Taewoo. Was this always the structure of the book in your mind, or did it come as you were writing?
It came and clarified as I leaned into the title of the book, Nuclear Family, and realized that I couldn't tell a single story of either character and had to branch out to talk about familial relations that extend beyond the Cho's and actually eventually retraces the matrilineal story of Jacob's grandmother, which is lost and forgotten as she struggles with memory loss and dementia. So although this story is about Taewoo as the driving force of the book, I wanted to also extend to more relations beyond the nuclear family unit.
I would love if you'd read a passage, a bit of the book for us, if you wouldn't mind setting it up.
Absolutely. I'm going to read from a section of the first chapter. And here we have Taewoo trying to convince his many ghosts, brethren, to join him on an excursion and to come together and collaborate, because it's only in sheer numbers that they'll be able to overcome the DMZ. After years of trying to find an entry point, after years of convincing more dead, those from the north who had similar aspirations to return, and those from the south who had relatives in the north and wanted to help, Taewoo had assembled a large group of all ages at the DMZ, sharing in common an unforgiving hunger. The orphaned, widowed, and lonely among them, those who could speak Japanese, students who protested with their lives, dispersed families who appeared on TV to broadcast their hopes and find their long-lost relatives. The elderly who couldn't participate in reunions between North and South at Mount Kumgang, and children who dared each other to leave their hands on the wall and withstand the pain, all of whom carried a reason to persist, a face they wished to see before they too were eventually forgotten. The dead gathered around Taewoo, whispering among themselves, nodding. Even in death, the war of their lives was far from over. "This divide will not stop us," he exclaimed. "We will find a way." The dead looked up to Taewoo, their faces bright with hope. The sun shone through them as Taewoo promised they would overcome the DMZ. At the end of his speech, Taewoo explained, as Youngshik stood firm and held him high, they needed to get as tall as possible and assemble a tower.
That was Joseph Han reading from his book, Nuclear Family, part of our 2022 debut series. The restaurants and the delis that shows own, would you explain to our audience, for those who don't know, how those kind of delis, those kind of lunch plate places fit within Korean and Hawaiian culture?
Sure. Plate lunches are kind of a metaphor for liberal multicultural Hawaii, where since the plantation era of Hawaii and the arrival of laborers and immigrants from various countries, the local food landscape also began to shift. And so with plate lunches, they kind of come from the genealogy of the Japanese bento. And so each immigrant group contributed an entree or a main dish that then became associated with these groups. Eventually, Korean communities began to be known for providing mitjeon as an offering and staple for local Korean food. And mitjeon is a Korean dish that's only found in Hawaii, though you can see its iterations in Korean cuisine and the making of chun more generally around the world.
And it's the reason I wanted to ask that, and to broaden it out a little bit, there is this great device you use. I hope that's not a terrible word to use, but of Guy Fieri. Guy Fieri has given this restaurant his thumbs up, and he just kind of invades it, and his television crew comes, and I think it's the mom who says, and he doesn't even pay, but it's that is like the seal of approval for this restaurant. That the fact that they couldn't just be this restaurant, these people couldn't live their lives and make their living, that they had Guy Fieri say it was okay. I was curious about the choice of Guy Fieri and what were you trying to explore through this episode?
Yeah, so I wanted to establish that the restaurant had its heyday because it was because the family was graced by Guy Fieri's visit as a way for them to reach a larger audience of consumers beyond Hawaii, and how their popularity extended beyond the local community to include tourists who were interested in trying Korean food in the local context. Primarily, I wanted to juxtapose how the Cho's will ultimately appear in media over the course of the restaurant's life, and how that drastically shifts when their first appearance is signaled by an embrace and a welcome by America's stand-in, in a way, and how their second media appearance with Jacob attempting to cross the DMZ, they are met with suspicion, anxiety, and fear And so with those two different appearances, I wanted to also reckon with the history of how Koreans are and have always been made suspect regarding our allegiances stemming to the Korean War, where we were either seen as a friendly on the side of the US, aiding in the efforts to reclaim the peninsula for the American military occupation and the establishment of a greater base, or we are made to be seen as an enemy or suspect of future crimes or betrayal of the US.
The book takes place during a specific time, the month leading up to the false missile alert that Hawaiians received in 2018. What made you want to write a story that included that moment? Which terrifying.
Well, I was thinking about this leading up to the actual event and writing about the reality of militarism, not only in Hawaii, but Korea as well, and globally, what continues to feed our realities as they are fixed to militarization as the only way to live. And every month, at the start of every month in Hawaii, the state tests its emergency siren, and it's a Cold War era siren, and it blares across the island and it kind of shrieks, and it's alarming, definitely. But it's supposed to warn the population here toward the big one, however you may interpret that, whether it's a catastrophic weather event or an incoming ballistic missile. And so I think I wanted to write about the false missile alert to also write about the various fictions about what keeps us safe. And the militarization of Hawaii absolutely does not keep us safe. For example, currently, Hawaii is facing a water crisis.
Got about 30 seconds. I'm sorry, you're up against the hard end. But the water, why is saying water crisis? This is important.
Water crisis, jet fuel is leaking into our primary drinking aquifer and threatening to contaminate the largest water source for Hawaii. And so, yeah, I thought, what better way to write against these fictions of the United States being a savior than with a novel?
The name of it is Nuclear Family. It is beautifully written. My guest has been Joseph Han. Joseph, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's all of it for today.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.